Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. I'd like to do a commentary on day 51. And the reading is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 14. And it reads, "So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored, and became clean like that of a young boy." That's 2 Kings 5:14. It seems like I get certain words in my mind, and I'm grateful for that because it keeps getting reinforced. A few weeks ago, I kept thinking a lot about peace, and peace is still important to me, but I have been thinking a lot about obedience lately, how it's important for me to obey the Lord. What has he said to me that I really have to think about it, because I can be diverted very quickly. And one of the easiest ways I find to be diverted is to make my feelings my focus. Now, don't get me wrong, feelings are important, but for the reason of compassion, for me, that I am called to be compassionate to people, that whatever is going on with them, I do want to go back into my heart and think, when did I feel that way too? You know, how can I, connect with them on the heart level about what they are doing? Otherwise, you know, I get into a type of a Pharisee mode of thinking that I was self-made. I did everything. I did it. It's me. I've done it. And I may not even say it, but I can think it. Or I can act it out. And that is not what God is saying, you know, for me to do. So I do have to have compassion for other people, and to think of, you know, what is it that they need and how can I be of help. And so in that way, the feelings are very, very important for me. But when they dominate me in terms of, you know, everything centers around what I want versus what God has called me to be. He has called me to be his ambassador, and I myself made this decision about the Galatians 2:20. You know, Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives through me. In the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." Paul was the one that penned that. He said that. And when I think about it, it is what I need to keep coming back to, you know, day after day and throughout the day. Throughout the day. I remember saying this to myself. I was talking to the Lord. I said to him, "Father," actually, "I really don't even want to do that. It was something I needed to do. And like, I can think of other things." And then I remember, it was like, wait a minute. But I know this. I know that if you want me to do it, I know it's the right thing. And I pray, Lord, please give me the willingness and strength. Help me. Help me. And so the combination of realizing that I'm going back into making myself the center of living, and also that I have the Holy Spirit living in me, and I can, you know, just get that Spirit working in me through prayer. So that means that praying has to be a huge part of what I'm doing as well. I have to have that that prayer be a part of what I do, and it's sincere prayer to you know, as I go along in the day. I thought about Nathan, and I've said it even in this reading. You know, it took a lot of humility, actually, for Nathan to actually go to, initially, to go to Elijah, to get that healing that he needed. So he went, and so as it says in this reading, he had an idea of how the healing should come about. And when it did not come about in the way that he had envisioned in his mind, he was ready to turn aside. And I told about this, how this was my way when I first got abstinent, that I struggled with abstinence a lot. I really did. When I was very young, I was a teenager, and I realized I had to do something about my food. And the realization was kind of weird, too. It was mostly about my body, that as long as I was, before I got to puberty, you know, and the hormones had changed in my mind, I could pretty much eat anything I wanted to. Anything, and what I wanted to most of the time was of sugar and candy, and I could readily get that with a minimum amount of effort. I've told about how my friend and I, we would go and get all of those pop bottles. We would find those pop bottles and take them to the little candy store. I even remember the name of the store was called Matthews. We were taking the Matthews store, and it was about a block and a half away from my home. And like I said, when I grew up in Virginia, and I grew up, as I'm speaking this, I'm thinking about how my my youngest daughter is, in a lot of ways, she's mirroring some of the things that I had when I was a kid. She lives in Saudi Arabia, but they live on a compound. They live in an area that is guarded. It's guarded all around. It's like a tiny little city almost. And the kids have freedom in that compound because, you know, people cannot go in and out without going through the going through the guard. And the same thing, though, when I grew up, I didn't live in a compound, but I lived in an area, a restricted area, because I was, I'm Afro-American. At the time, they called us Negro or Black, and we were not allowed to go. We couldn't live wherever we wanted to live, and we could not go wherever we wanted to go. So we lived in an area, we lived in, they also called us colored. We lived in the colored area of the thing. But in a way, I look, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good. So I was in like a area that all the people knew everybody, because everybody in that area were, you know, we were Black, and everybody knew. They knew the families. Everyone knew the family. And so as a child, I could leave my house and come back at lunch, you know, check in at lunch. But so as a young child, like, I'm going back to why the story began to begin with, was how I got really into the eating and the food and whatever. Please, I would leave the house and come at 4 years old even and go look for pop bottles and take it over to Matthew's store and, you know, get the candy for the day. And I would ride my, you know, the bicycles and do the skating and all the stuff all within the neighborhood. And everybody knew everybody, so people would tell on people, too. Like, I had, if a neighbor saw you doing something, believe me, it would get home before I would get home for lunch, because that was where it was and what I was, you know, brought up. into being. And so, but the thing is that so I was out and about and doing many things and into the food. And so when I got to be a teenager, though, my body changed in that I could not eat in the same way and not gain weight. So when I gained weight, the first time that I gained weight, I did the logical stuff that I would do. And that was find out how I could solve that problem. And like I said before, because I had a birth defect also, I was not one of the popular kids, but I was very studious. And I decided I would find out from reading. Didn't even have, if they had the internet, I would have been a mess. Find out from reading what I needed to do. And that was when I got my first little diet book. And I found a little diet book at the colored library, and I got my little diet book, and I read that book, and I followed what it said, you know, to do, and pretty much it was saying that I had to stop eating bread. I remember that was one of the things. But like I've said before, it was with the intent that once I lost that weight, I was going to go back to eating whatever I wanted to eat. And the candy and everything else that I wanted to eat. And I did. I lost the weight. And that became my mode of operandi, in a way. In that if I gained too much weight, I would go on a diet to lose the weight. And go on a diet to lose the weight. And what was happening, though, is that things were getting out of control because I wasn't even looking at the problem that the food was becoming independent. I was dependent on that food and that the candy and the sweets and all the other stuff as somebody who was dependent on drugs. You know, I was building that up in my body to do that. And so eventually even the dieting stopped working for me because I couldn't stay on a diet very long. I would stay on it for a bit, but then I would be off of it again. And then the next phase of the eating was where I had a group of people come to help me. The first one was a commercial group. Which was Weight Watchers. I went to Weight Watchers, and that was the group that we were all doing the same thing. But then after a while, I didn't have enough money to continue to do Weight Watchers. And then I found out about Overeaters Anonymous, where that was a free group to do things. But in OA, they were going through a change, and they no longer had the same food plan. They had what they would call Dignity of Choice. Well, I was back and running again, doing it my way, and not having anyone. And then I went to another phase, and that phase was to have the group, a group of people again, where we had the same food plan, and we would encourage one another. And the difference, though, we did have a sprinkling, because the original ones who had started this type of recovery had a sprinkling of God, you know, and the sprinkling was called, you know, a God of my understanding. Well, if I only have a God of my understanding, believe me, I'm limiting myself greatly, and I'm also not realizing the nature of the beast. By this time, it was spiritual warfare that I was in. With the food. And the nature of the beast, it was not going anywhere with me just with a God of my understanding. It didn't work. It doesn't work in that way. To overcome that spiritual warfare that was going on in my life, I needed the one true God. The one true God. Who is shown in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. God who cared enough about me that he actually came to live a life. And he's left his people behind. He's left his word behind so that I can even learn from people that I never knew. And I think about, too, about the kindness of the Lord who let me know about him. Because I learned about the true and living God through Christian radio, through other Christians, those who knew Jesus as Lord. There's a difference between religion and what people say, religion and relationship. It's a relationship with the Lord that he wants me to have. To have that relationship. And that means, like, every day to want to be with him. To you know, I'm not doing him any favors, you know, thinking that, oh, look at me. I am reading his Bible. I gotta do this Bible stuff. And, you know, I gotta go to church. You know, that's that Pharisee attitude again. It's just, I'm adding something on to the real stuff is me. I got it all together and stuff like that. But it's not. And like I said in the beginning, in the introduction, when I heard that yesterday, the back to the understanding, my abstinence is obedience. It's obedience. And I want to obey him. Because, like I said, he has been so good to me. Even while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. He died for me. Even when I was, you know, a child and not even knowing about him, he cared about me. He put people around me who would teach me and take care of me and who loved me. And yeah, things weren't perfect in my life. You know, we, on this side of heaven, there is, the only perfection is the Lord himself. We want to get closer and closer to him. But there are many things that are going to happen. But this is what the Lord tells me. He says, put your focus on me. Listen to me. Remember what I have told you. Learn from me. Love me. Love me, and you will love me as you understand and begin to see how much I love you. And don't stop there. Love others as well. Love them from the heart. Love enough. Love them enough that you care about their eternity. And so that means that I'm going to live all that he shows me to live. I don't want to be hindered in that life. I don't want to try to serve two masters. So yeah, I want to be out of the food because that had become a master to me. But I want to be in his word, so that I am connected in this learning, not just in the morning, but throughout the day. And to be able to teach other people by the way I live it out and by the way that I show them that they too need to be in the Word to hear from him. They need to be in prayer so they can speak to him, that they can hear him speak to them. And it's never too early to do that. That is my please. That is definitely what I want to do in Bible for Food. But I also want to do it with my children. I want to do it with my grandchildren. And I want to do it with my husband. And the way that I do it with my husband, the Bible says this. You know, that those who have husbands that do not believe, they are not going to be won over with words. They will be won over by behavior. And so, yeah, submission. But let me stop and pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in this very day, I want to be teachable. I do. I want to be teachable. And you have certainly given me clues to know when I am going in the wrong direction. And that is the loss of peace. I am not called to be anxious about anything and fearful about anything. I'm not called to be arrogant. I am called to humbly follow Jesus. And I pray to remember that. I pray to walk that. I pray to teach that. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.